The contents of Harry's potion vanished. He was left standing foolishly beside an empty cauldron. "Those of you who have managed to read the instructions, fill one flagon with a sample of your potion, label it clearly with your name, and bring it up to my desk for testing," said Snape. "Homework? 12 inches of parchment on the properties of moonstone and its uses in potion making, to be handed in on Thursday." While everyone around him filled their flagons, Harry cleared away his things, seething. His potion had been no worse than Ron's, which was now giving off a foul odor of bad eggs, or Neville's, which had achieved the consistency of just mixed cement, and which Neville was now having to gouge out of his cauldron. Yet it was he, Harry, who would be receiving 0 marks for the day's work. He stuffed his wand back into his bag and slumped down onto his seat, watching everyone else march up to Snape's desk with filled and corked flagons. When at long last the bell rang, Harry was first out of the dungeon and had already started his lunch by the time Ron and Hermione joined him in the great hall. The ceiling had turned an even murkier grey during the morning. Rain was lashing the high windows. "That was really unfair," said Hermione consolingly, sitting down next to Harry and helping herself to shepherd's pie. "Your potion wasn't nearly as bad as Goyle's. When he put it into his flagon, the whole thing shattered and set his robes on fire."
"Yeah, well," said Harry, glowering at his plate, "since when has Snape ever been fair to me?"
Neither of the others answered. All three of them knew that Snape and Harry's mutual enmity had been absolute from the moment Harry had set foot in Hogwarts.
"I did think he might be a bit better this year," said Hermione in a disappointed voice. "I mean, you know."
She looked carefully around. There were 6 empty seats on either side of them, and nobody was passing the table.
"Now he's in the order and everything."
"Poisonous toadstools don't change their spots," said Ron sagely.
"Anyway, I've always thought Dumbledore was cracked, trusting Snape. Where's the evidence he ever really stopped working for you-know-who?"
"I think Dumbledore's probably got plenty of evidence, even if he doesn't share it with you, Ron," snapped Hermione.
"Oh, shut up, the pair of you,"
said Harry heavily, as Ron opened his mouth to argue back. Hermione and Ron both froze, looking angry and offended.
"Can't you give it a rest?" he said. "You're always having a go at each other. It's driving me mad."
And abandoning his shepherd's pie, he swung his school bag over his shoulder and left them sitting there. He walked up the marble staircase 2 steps at a time, past the many students hurrying toward lunch. The anger that had just flared so unexpectedly still blazed inside him, and the vision of Ron and Hermione's shocked faces afforded him a sense of deep satisfaction.
"Serve them right," he thought. "Why can't they give it a rest? Bickering all the time, it's enough to drive anyone up the wall."
He passed the large picture of Sir Cadogan the Knight on a landing. Sir Cadogan drew his sword and brandished it fiercely at Harry, who ignored him.
"Come back, you scurvy dog! Stand fast and fight!"
yelled Sir Cadogan in a muffled voice from behind his visor. But Harry merely walked on, and when Sir Cadogan attempted to follow him by running into a neighbouring picture, he was rebuffed by its inhabitant, a large and angry-looking wolfhound. Harry spent the rest of the lunch hour sitting alone underneath the trapdoor at the top of North Tower, and consequently, he was the first to ascend the silver ladder that led to Sybil Trelawney's classroom when the bell rang. Divination was Harry's least favourite class after potions, which was due mainly to Professor Trelawney's habit of predicting his premature death every few lessons. A thin woman, heavily draped in shawls and glittering with strings of beads, she always reminded Harry of some kind of insect, with her glasses hugely magnifying her eyes. She was busy putting copies of battered, leather-bound books on each of the spindly little tables with which her room was littered when Harry entered the room, but so dim was the light cast by the lamps covered by scarves and the low-burning, sickly-scented fire that she appeared not to notice him as he took a seat in the shadows. The rest of the class arrived over the next 5 minutes. Ron emerged from the trapdoor, looked around carefully, spotted Harry and made directly for him, or as directly as he could while having to wend his way between tables, chairs, and overstuffed poofs.
"Hermione and me have stopped arguing," he said, sitting down beside Harry.
"Good," grunted Harry.
But Hermione says she thinks it would be nice if you stopped taking out your temper on us, said Ron. I'm just passing on the message, said Ron, talking over him. But I reckon she's right. It's not our fault how Seamus and Snape treat you.
I never said it.